The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Tossed Popcorn is a production of iHeart Radio.
Hi, I'm Sienna Jekyll.
And I'm Liana Holston.
And welcome to Tossed Popcorn, the podcast where two idiots watched every film on the AFI's 100 Greatest American Movies of All Time, the very slightly less racist 10th Anniversary Edition, and are now watching movies of our own and listeners' choosing.
This podcast is a safe history for people who don't know anything about movies. Today, we're watching National Treasure.
Lemons.
Woo!
An American classic.
Wow. Wow.
USA. USA. USA.
Well, Liana, may we immediately jump into our predictions?
Please. Ooh. Would you like to hear mine first?
I would love to hear yours first.
Thank you.
Hi, Sienna. It's Liana. I'm about to watch National Treasure. It was 1832 on a night much like this. I used to have this whole movie memorized, so let's see how much I can quote. I'm a little drunk. Oh, love you. Bye.
Okay, so many good vibes going on for you. So many good vibes. Just changing that date.
Thanks.
What was the event? What was the just getting a little tipsy after work? Just generally European?
Just generally European. No, I had a stressful afternoon because our Wi-Fi went down for my last 2 hours of working remotely. And then by the end of that, I was like, oh, I need a drink. But because of that bad workout I had a couple weeks back, I'd stopped drinking since then. Mm-hmm. And so it had been a minute and I had a glass of sherry because that's what I had in the home. And it zooted me straight to the moon.
Sherry. Okay, Fraser Crane style.
Sherry.
Sherry. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, wow, wow. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess my prediction is next.
Yes, please.
Let's hit it. Let's hit it, girl.
Oh, my
hey,
God.
Hey, Liana. This is Sienna. I'm about to watch National Treasure. I predict you will be very excited.
Oh.
What I remember about this movie is when they visit their dad. They visit... Mm-hmm. I'm sorry that it's echoing so much in here. They visit...
It's actually not echoing as much as I thought.
Nicolas Cage's dad, and he and the woman... blow on the Declaration of Independence that they put in the oven.
Yeah. No.
To warm it up.
I don't know why I thought.
I don't remember. This might be from the second movie. I don't know what's going to happen. No. Maybe he tries to find George Washington's foot
or something.
Like, maybe they have to go to the Washington Monument or the. Yeah. Oh. I'm not sure I know what happens in this.
The City of Gold? Nope, that's the other one.
Well, that's the second one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love you, goodbye.
The second one is when they remembered that like people of color were involved in America's history as well.
Right.
And then the series is where they really remembered that.
Oh, good.
But that's actually more about, I think, Mexican history.
Okay.
Yes, kind of.
Kind of.
They do. His dad does say, oh, you should put it in the oven. And they all go, no.
That's why I had that's what I had memory of.
Yeah.
If you didn't, if we didn't love that, you're going to hate my summary.
Oh my gosh.
But before that, let's, hey girl, hey girl.
Hey girl. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, someone has a haircut.
I do. I got a haircut.
Someone's head is a different shape.
I got my haircut. I went to get my haircut in Hollywood, recommended by my friend. Oh. And... Nice.
You gotta go to Hollywood to get a haircut.
It was like everything just costs a little more there, like parking wise and stuff like that. Like you just can't get out of there.
Oh yeah,
because
you now live in the suburbs, or wherever.
I guess
far away.
I just live not in Hollywood or West Hollywood anymore. I live somewhere else.
Oh, that's right. Because you now live in San Diego?
No, right? It's just another part of Los Angeles.
You're in Nevada?
But when I got there, I could not find... I got to the parking structure, and then it was one of those situations where I was like, I no longer know where I am. I could tell sort of where that I was in the right general area when I entered the parking structure, but now the structure is so large... Oh. I don't know if I go up or I go down. I don't know where the stores are. I don't know where the street is. And I just walked down the stairs.
It's like an avalanche.
It was.
You don't know which way is up.
I walked down the stairs and I started walking and I was like, I literally have no idea where I'm going. The structure takes up like an entire block. So I called this hairdresser on the phone. I found the email, called her on the phone. And I was like, hey, nice. I'm so sorry. I'm right outside. I'm just trying to find the place. And she goes, oh, okay. So I usually after 15 minutes have to cancel and charge you. And I was like, okay, the most unhelpful thing to hear right now would be the punishment I'll have if I don't make it in 5 minutes.
Oh, oh my God.
Like no information about where to go.
And that's also so like, you are there.
I'm here. Please help me. But then I'm like, okay, I really am here. I just can't find where it is. And then she told me, she's like, well, it's on the second floor. And I'm like, yes. So I managed to go back into the structure and look around frantically and find the elevator and get up to the second floor. And I did find it. But it was just like such a stressful way to start it, to be like, oh my gosh, can I have help? And they're like, oh, no. And I'm going to charge
you. You've got 5 minutes.
Oh, I'd love to help, but I wouldn't love to, and
what
I can't.
What the fuck? Yeah. Instead of helping, I will inform you of the stakes of the situation should you fail.
You know when you're like an adult and you just have one of those situations that's like the kind of scary that you had as a child when they just state rules that you're like, I have no power here. That's what it felt like. Well, anyway, I made it out of the parking structure and I got my hairs cut.
Yes.
And now it's shorter. And Liana thinks it's nice.
I think it's nice.
Yes. Liana.
Hi.
How are you doing? How's
Thank
your week?
Thank you. I'm good. I'm good and it makes me very suspicious. Have we spoken about this? How things going well makes me very suspicious. I think so.
I think so.
Everybody at work is really nice and I'm so suspicious.
Interesting.
I'm always like, what's about to go wrong?
That and can't be right.
That's not. And what's not right really is my mind.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So it's like, hi, Liana. You're like, what's your angle?
What do you actually
what's
want?
The catch, bub?
What do you mean? It's like, oh, how was your weekend? Why?
Why? What do you want to know?
If I tell you, are you going to fire me? Is that what you're asking? What about it? A weird spot to be in. I think things are going well, but my brain and body refuse to get on board with that. But I'm going hiking tomorrow, so who cares?
Oh, that's so lovely.
Thanks.
I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
Outdoors, outside.
Outdoors. Trains and rains, of course, permitting. So we'll, again, we'll see. Wow, I really don't let myself just enjoy things, do I?
Do I?
Do I?
Is that a term, trains and rains permitting?
No.
Oh. It's nice.
Thank you.
You should tell that to England. They could really use that.
I'll let it's them very know. Good. I'll let the bed and breakfast and the like national parks, you know, visitor center. I'll let them know.
Well, Liana, I'd love to get the summary over with because it's completely wrong.
Speaking of speaking to people who work at national centers, Sienna, could you please? I actually don't know if I want you to.
National treasure.
Yep.
Nicolas Cage is carrying on the family tradition of hunting for American treasures.
Yeah.
It did skip a generation, so his dad's not into it. Mm-hmm. He and his sidekick are trying to stop Sean Bean from stealing the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. He meets a government woman from Germany who turns out is fun and treasure loving. She's not from Germany? And joins them for the journey. They go into a mine shaft.
What?
Are they in a mine shaft?
No.
They're not in a mine?
Wait, are you skipping to the end?
I think I am. They're not in a mine?
No.
At some point, they're in a mine.
No.
Oh, God. At the end, they find the treasure, colon, the City of Gold.
No! No!
Now,
that is
I
not
couldn't really...
right.
I played the end over so many times because I was like, oh, I should kind of cook a little bit. I was cooking and I'm like, okay, I'll watch it again. And I just kept missing it. I just kept missing it.
Oh my God.
So I just had to assume maybe it was the City of Gold that I remembered.
Cibola? No, that's the sequel.
Okay, so I got a couple things right.
You did.
Which maybe makes the parts that aren't right even more painful.
It's a stark contrast. It's a below the crypt of Trinity Church is where the treasure is kept, which I guess could be called a mine shaft. What is a mine shaft, really? Is a mine?
I really thought there was a mine shaft.
It was a deep,
it just looked like
deep
one.
Tunnel underground.
Yeah,
which in many ways is a mine shaft, but it.
You know why I thought it was a mine shaft? Because the last time this happened to me, I went, there's a deep tunnel in the ground. Why would that be there? And it was during Lord of the Rings with Mordor.
Oh, the Mines of Moria.
Moria.
Yeah. And those were literally mines. Yeah.
And they were mines. Yeah. And they looked the same. It was the same cavernous space where you're like, why else would this exist?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did and you, I went, oh, well, now I can use context clues because I've lived on this. There's not just big holes for no reason. They were for mines and things like that. They have them for a reason.
Yeah. Well, and this one was to keep the treasure. So if you consider the treasure a mine, it basically was a big safe underground. They built a very giant safe.
That feels unlikely to me.
Oh, my God. The whole thing's unlikely. It's fiction. It's historical fiction.
That seems very
unlikely.
Are you sure?
That does not seem plausible. I know I'm really biased because I've seen it so many times and I watched it a ton as a kid. So I know that I really get the plot. Like, I really know what's going on. But I also think it's pretty easy to follow.
It probably is.
I think they explain everything, like, a lot. Because it's
I think
for
they're
kids.
Saying it over and over. Yeah. And also it's the kind of where they're like, whoa.
Yeah. And there's a lot of visual clues while they're explaining in the dialogue.
I don't think I was, I was present, but I don't know if I was in it to win it. In terms
yeah.
of taking in all that. But, you know, had a good time with old Nicky Cage.
I want to know, yeah, how did you feel overall? What's your big takeaway?
It was breathtakingly stupid. I couldn't believe.
Did you have fun at all?
I did. Okay. Yeah, I did. Because it was very dumb, but I did enjoy the, like, oh my God.
I know.
It's Valley Forge.
She pressed E and L twice.
It's Valley Forge. You pressed E and L twice.
A glove fry.
So stupid.
A very golf.
I didn't realize how much it was for kids. I didn't realize that's what they were doing. I thought it was just really, really stupid.
It was 1832 in an ad much like this.
We'll be right back.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything. A moment that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these very moments.
The last couple of years has been the hardest season of our marriage, for sure. I'm surprised our marriage survived it. I think we both are. I think we both were barely holding on. Nothing compares to how hard this is.
Their stories are full of candor, awe, and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change.
True behavior change is really identity change. Every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become.
Listen to A Slight Change of Plans on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Liana, shall we move on to our phone notes?
Yeah.
This is, of course, the part where we talk about the notes taken on her phone while watching the film. Liana, you said Christopher Plummer Slay.
Slay.
Who's that?
Oh, my God. Do you know the actor Christopher Plummer?
Maybe when I see him. Which one is he?
He is...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. From The Sound of Music.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Christopher Plummer Slay. Wow.
He's grandpa in the film.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, really?
Oh.
Holy crap. I would not have known that. That's awesome.
Yeah. He's the one who says, it was 1832 on a night.
That was fun. Much I like do this. Love a grandpa explaining something to his.
You're not supposed to be up here.
Grandson. As like a narrative tool.
Fun.
That's fun.
Sienna, you did note, America is so sickening because our history can never have cool, old, ornate history. We have 1832. So lame. Yeah.
It's so
America's so
lame.
Embarrassing. It's such a stupid place. Sorry, America.
It's so young, and it was like, it starts from such, like, truly a huge, our history is not very long, and it's mostly slavery and genocide.
Yeah.
And so we're like, no, forget about that stuff. That stuff's
okay,
not cool.
1832, but before the Civil War, so.
Okay. I got it. You know what we have is sort of old colonial guys. Like, that's like the
founding
lamest characters.
Fathers.
Yeah. The lamest characters you could have to use in an action movie.
Charles
Carroll.
Talking
about, like, Benjamin Franklin.
Was the last surviving signer of the Declaration of Independence. And he knew he was dying.
Liana, you said this attic would be lit as hell to me.
Oh, to visit that attic. His grandpa's attic, where there's a bunch of maps.
Treasures.
And historical documents.
Yeah.
And cool artifacts.
Yeah.
And it's spooky and raining. Come on.
Do they have escape rooms in the UK?
They do, but they're always... Oh, I'm just now realizing why this is. But the windows, you can't see in them from the outside.
Huh?
Which makes me very suspicious of the venue.
Well... It's an escape room.
I know.
It's the only way.
I know. They do have escape rooms here. I don't yet have a good list of a perfect group of people to do an escape room with.
Totally.
I still think I'd probably be best if I did one alone. And I think if I actually did that, I would become so existentially sad that I've been staying away.
Okay. Yeah, and all their escape rooms are probably like, escape the Queen's head
chomp. Oh my god, there literally is a Sherlock Holmes-themed one in Shepherd's Bush. There's a neighborhood called Shepherd's Bush. I can't believe we haven't talked about that before. I stayed there for 2 weeks at the end of last May. Sheppy B, baby.
Shepherd's Bush. In Shepherd's Bush, there is a Sherlock Holmes escape room.
Yeah.
That is too much. That is too much.
Gosh, what an astute observation from someone who did not perceive the film. You wrote, this is from the feel smart era of movie, perpetuated by the Aaron Sorkin industrial complex that then trickled down to the dumbest among us. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. That's the
it's
same
something
as
that makes you feel smart, and that's so we love to feel smart.
What is the other the Da Vinci Code, which was actually they're both very silly movies, and I know I should just accept them as such, but the Da Vinci Code was actually so unwatchable it bruised my brain.
I've never seen it. I've read, of course, the book.
I watched it with my brother to hate watch it, and it was just like
do you know?
I
what?
Know this has to be tongue in cheek in some way, but it's actually too much.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too much.
But
both of those films do man with unconscionable haircut and gorgeous woman much younger than him.
Gorgeous woman listens to him explain everything.
Uh-huh. And sometimes
gorgeous
she knows
younger
a fact.
Woman. Yeah. Oh. She knows, I will say, after seeing the Da Vinci Code, it'll make you think that this is like women's rights compared to the Da Vinci Code, which is such a shame. Because there's a part of this movie where they're like, we should tell her to shut her mouth.
Oh, there's
Won't
many
she
parts.
Shut up.
almost every
should
scene.
Should we tie her up with duct tape? I was like, guys, calm down. This is a woman you're talking about. Just follow the general rules of chivalry and don't speak about a woman that way. That's crazy.
I know. It was crazy to me that of the two Nicolas Cage films we've watched, the one from the 80s or the 90s was less sexist than National Treasure.
That's really true.
I know.
That's so funny.
I think it's just, it's part of National Treasure's innate Americanness.
Like, yes, it's so American.
Oh, man.
Also, this one's for kids, you know. It's for kids.
Yeah,
they
sexism. They
like...
don't know how to recognize something that's not sexist. They don't know what to do with that.
Yeah. Leona, you said the most toned down Nicolas Cage ever. Yes.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage has ever been. That's funny. You're right. I mean, I've only seen him in a handful of movies, but
he just almost never yells. He's toned up. He mainly whispers. And that's different.
I really, for some reason, have like a well of respect for him being in a movie like this. And I don't know why. And yeah. I probably shouldn't. I'm probably thinking about it too hard. But I'm like, you're a good sport. He's like, yeah, I'll do exactly what you want from this.
Yeah. You know? It's also like only an actor like Nicolas Cage can get away with saying lines that are like, there is a way out through the treasure room.
Stupid
line.
The treasure room.
And it's like, it just adds to the camp element of the piece in such an excellent way.
I always wonder what it's like to be either an actor or a musician or somebody who really caters to middle schoolers as an adult. Mm-hmm. Because he is meant for like a 13-year-old to be like, lol.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Could it really
and
be
how do you
that
just
simple?
Embrace that? Embrace that and give that to the world. You know, like that is your contribution and that's okay.
When Abigail stops his hand before he puts lemon on the back of the Declaration of Independence, and she's like, I can't let you do that. And he goes, but it has to be done.
What? what? And later he said, he said something where he's like, it's quite something.
it's quite something, really.
I was like, yes!
It is quite something.
Leona, you said another moment when they said iron pen was similar. Leona, you said, iron pen is such a metal way to describe your signature.
Oh,
so true.
It's so much better than like autograph or, you know, initials or whatever. Like, oh, I just need to get your iron pen on this document really quick. Oh, sorry. Just a sec. I just need to put my iron pen down.
What?
Yes. I love that.
That was another moment.
That poem was gorgeous. 55 and iron pen. Mr. Matlack can't defend. Love it.
I was watching because I couldn't remember exactly what this movie was like. Again, I remembered like sort of the action parts, which actually did end up happening later when they're running around and he's running with the tube.
Oh, yeah. We will have to talk about the tube
on the roofs. Yeah. And but before that, for a long time, it's just sort of like a couple of white dudes solving riddles in a room.
And I love that.
And the riddles are so not even they're beyond dumb. They're like all the rules, they explain the rules as they're going. Like, there's no way you could solve them.
Word
because
salad.
They don't make any sense.
It's wonderful.
And when he's going iron pen, and for such a long time, he's kind of muttering to himself, like, resolved it.
It was firm. Resolved. Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. iron pen. No, that can't be right.
It was firm. It was mineral. No, it wasn't mineral. Stupid.
No.
It was
and
resolved.
I was just watching this, just mesmerized and full of awe. Going, I don't know what I don't know what I'm in for.
I love it so much. I literally would watch this for 4 hours. Just guys solving riddles that are based on historical fact. Oh my fact, God, I love that.
Quote unquote. Like
I would loosely.
That's a strong loosely.
Loosely based on historical events. Oh,
I'm sorry. I'm already laughing at your next note, which is, is it heavy? I would also wonder that.
When he takes the whole framed Declaration of Independence and Riley was like, what? Is it heavy? I was like, that's the perfect and correct question to be asking.
King, I want to know.
Like, probably because it's bulletproof glass, but I don't know. Also, it's really funny that the Declaration of Independence is behind bulletproof glass because imagine somebody comes in and shoots the Declaration of Independence. Like, it is a statement, but what?
That is extremely
to what end?
I'm going to kill the Declaration of Independence.
Everyone's like, wait, hang on. I don't think... No, that's not.
No! No!
Get a doctor!
The Declaration of Independence has been shot.
The Declaration of Independence has been assassinated.
Huh?
Yeah.
Liana, you've said, stop shaking the Declaration of Independence while it's in a tube.
And now we have to talk about this tube. The tube is a character in the film. Oh my God.
It's a special tube.
They are really cavalier once that declaration gets in that tube. They're too relaxed about it.
Yeah.
Stop shaking.
The edges.
Yeah.
The edges are the part that's the most vulnerable.
It's covered in lemon juice and human breath. And you're shaking it in a tube? Stop doing that.
Have some respect.
They were not being respectful once that declaration was put in a tube.
It's not plushy enough in that tube either.
Mm-mm. It's just a little plastic thing.
Mm-mm.
Oh, uh-uh. I couldn't believe it. Maybe I don't know enough about paper, but the amount of times that that Declaration of Independence got rolled and unrolled and re-rolled and shaken around in a tube... There's just no way it's staying in one piece.
Liana. You already said this. You already said this very funny comment about the other Nicolas Cage movie being less sexist. But what you wrote is, somehow Moonlight is less sexist than National Treasure.
Wait, what?
And
are,
I think you're thinking of Moonstruck. It's not that meaningful of a statement, and yet... It's really funny.
Oh, do you know, while I was typing that, I was like, this doesn't look quite right. But, oh well. I guess that's
somehow.
What I mean.
Shit. Liana, you said, sort of extremely telling that the Liberty Bell cracked. Yeah. When did it crack? How did it crack?
You know, they actually say in the movie, but I can't remember, but the tour guide is giving the facts. It's sometime in the 1780s, I want to say. Like the crack expanded too much and they took it down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was the 1880s. Maybe it was Bell brought up to mark the centennial. Or no. I think the centennial bell is now what's in Independence Hall's tower. Fuck. I don't know. But yeah. Early in the nation's history, the Liberty Bell said, I don't think so. I'm not ringing for this country.
That doesn't feel right. Like, I feel like, again, many other nations would have, like, we've had this bell since
the Dark Ages.
20 AD.
Yeah. Literally. We're finding Roman artifacts all over England.
We have a broken one.
Bell and it broke.
We had it for a good few decades.
It was meant to symbolize our values, but it quit its job.
But it broke.
And Sienna, you said he's using a water bottle as a magnifying glass right now. So,
okay,
there are whimsical elements to this film, and you're not enjoying them?
No, whimsical. I did enjoy it.
Okay.
Those are the moments where I was the most like,
yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so dumb.
I appreciate that this movie was like, we're going to do this, and we're going to do it right.
I'm also so obsessed with the concept that the entire founding of a nation features clues to a treasure map.
You did say, I wish everyone in the past was doing little pranks and leaving little clues.
Imagine.
Seriously.
Imagine they
didn't have that much to do.
We know this.
They weren't distracted by their phones.
They had plenty of time to do little pranks and leave little clues around. What the hell? Oh, I just am obsessed with that. Like when they were designing the $100 bill, they were like, and don't forget, the clock tower has to say 222 so that Nicolas Cage knows to go carve a brick out of Independence Hall at the right solstice hour.
So awesome. Liana, you've said, apparently the Declaration of Independence is very strong. That's true.
Look at the next line.
It's very strong. You said it can withstand lemons, hair dryers, and a semi truck.
What the fuck? It also makes me laugh as like a quality check test. It's like, all right, check it to see if it can withstand lemons. If it does that, check to see if it can withstand hair dryers. If it makes it past those two, bring out the semi truck. Hit it with a semi truck. See what happens. That tube is either a Iron Man or that paper is unbelievably robust.
That's one good tube.
That is one, that good, is one good tube.
Liana.
Yes. Liana. I know what you read.
Liana's last note from this whole movie is, does the map lead to her vagina? Wait, please explain. The very end of the movie.
Very end of the movie. Abigail's like, I made you something. And he's like, oh, really? What? She's like, a map. It's like, a map? A map to where? She goes, you'll figure it out. And then he chases her into their home while they're both doing sex eyes at each other. And I'm like, what now? What is on that map?
That's so funny.
It is. I guess it's leading to her vagina.
I made you a map to my puss.
He shouldn't need that.
Oh, that is good. Oh, that is just too good. Does the map lead to her vagina?
And Sienna, your final lines are, girl, I've checked out. This is so silly. Yeah. Yes. It is.
Very silly. Honestly,
but it's fun for the whole family.
I have to say, I think love to Tom Hanks and everything, and like Tom Hanks is a charmer, but for some reason the Da Vinci Code was so upsetting to me. This was a lot more fun, and I really think it's because of Nicolas Cage.
I love for you that the two options are National Treasure or the Da Vinci Code, and it has to be one of the two.
Type of dumb.
And the same lighting, the same color scheme.
Because they're both like escape rooms. They're both just like white dudes solving clues historical that make clues. No sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They make some sense. It's a little plausible.
I find this very unlikely. Liana, shall we move on to our next segment?
National Treasure, unlikely, and vagina.
Vagina is the main takeaway. Well, rub me with lemon and breathe on me, because I'm declaring independence for 3 minutes while we take an ad break. We'll be right back.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything. A moment that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these very moments.
The last couple of years has been the hardest season of our marriage, for sure. I'm surprised our marriage survived it. I think we both are. I think we both were barely holding on. Nothing compares to how hard this is.
Their stories are full of candor, awe, and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change.
True behavior change is really identity change. Every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become.
Listen to A Slight Change of Plans on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, Sienna, let's move on to Badges and Trages, in which we award the movie Badges for Benjamin Gates and Trages for Thomas Gates.
Is that his brother?
Great grandfather?
Okay.
Great, 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 great grandfather?
No, it's okay.
My grandfather's grandfather. Yeah. I have a badge for the music while watching the movie. I said, the music in this is so good. Out loud to no one.
I'll similarly say, one of my badges is, I appreciate how this movie is being so cinematic.
Yeah.
And being as epic as possible.
Yeah.
Despite being quite dumb.
Yeah. Badge for this Scott, the Scottish henchman. Who's like, oh, yeah. Why does that never happen to me?
Yeah.
Careful no one steps in him. Yes.
Oh, Scots.
Yes.
Shout out to Scots.
Shout out
My
to Scotland.
My next badge is for a grandpa talking to his grandson as a narrative device. Mm. We're talking.
Nice.
We're talking Princess Bride. We're talking A Child's Christmas in Wales.
Wow.
We're talking this movie.
Wow. A badge for delicious jams and jellies when Riley's asked what the preservation room could be for.
Oh, yeah.
Great line. Perfect.
Badge for the line, why would the captain be guarding this bear?
Also,
great moment of me going, here's what we're getting in.
I love this movie so much. They unearth a ship by conveniently pouring water on the name of the ship. Then all of the bodies in it are preserved, including the captain and his hat. So he knows that that's the captain. And apparently whoever pillaged the ship didn't finish the job because they didn't get what was in the barrel. And also within, a couple of hours, they've completely unearthed this ship that's been buried in snow for 3 centuries. I love that.
Too good.
A badge for checking out the interior of the elevator. When Nicolas Cage is at the gala and he uses he types in Valley Forge or uses her thumbprint to get into the elevator. He gets in and to seem casual, he just looks around to check out the interior design. And I love that little moment.
My next badge is for, it's Valley Forge. It's Valley Forge.
Password is Valley Forge.
That actually made me laugh out loud. That was so funny.
Like, who is such a fan of white American history that they make their own password Valley Forge?
What could it be?
Are you
what
not
could
embarrassed?
Oh, my God.
Valley Forge. A badge for the code red, we have a break-in guy. I thought he did a wonderful job. He delivers that line so well every time.
Wow. my final badge is just for Nicolas Cage. That man gives it his all in whatever way they need him to.
Yes. A badge for the woman at the steak counter at the market in Philadelphia. And let me note that that comes hand in hand with a tragedy that we will get to later.
Okay.
And my final badge is a badge for the fire work in the film. The work, the role that fire plays in this movie, just as it does in the second film as well, is wonderful. It's scenic. It's exciting. It's enticing. It's suspenseful. When he gets a torch and he puts it in a little bowl of oil that then lights up what turns out to be an incredibly vast treasure room.
Wow.
I love that. It just keeps going. The sound that the fire makes is very pleasing to mine ear. Okay. And the exact same thing happens in the second movie. And sometimes consistency is key, you know?
Consistency is
key. Why fix what ain't broken? The fire thing works. Do it every time. If I could light my own home, okay. I'm not done. If I could light my own home by holding a torch and putting it in a barrel of oil that then expands via cool little channels and canals throughout my residence, I would.
Wow.
If I could come home every day and have fresh oil in the tureen and get my torch off the wall.
The tureen, yeah.
And light my home in such a way, I 100% would invest in that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is why we need to keep the oil industry alive. So that I may excitingly reveal my abode. And that's all of my badges.
Okay. Well, Juliana, shall we move? Oh, Trages.
Trages. Do you want me to go first? Okay. A trag for Andrew Jackson. Boo. He's the president in 1832.
He's a bad guy.
Real bad guy. One. Boo.
Yeah. In American studies, they're basically like, boo. Basically, what any of that unit is. My main trage is just telling a woman to shut her mouth and shut up and threatening to duct tape her. Like, they were being very aggressive and rude to this woman. It felt very unsafe.
Fun for the whole family.
Shut up. Shut your mouth.
Trage for John Voight.
Yeah. It's a trage.
Upholding the GOP.
I wrote trage for that's right, LOL. I think the one time she says something, he's like, that's right.
She's like, well, if it's a cipher, there's going to be a key at the back on the top right corner of the document. He's like, that's right.
That's right.
And it really is like, shut the hell up. Shut up.
It's so annoying.
Yep. Trage for J. Edgar Hoover FBI building. Boo.
Boo. General trage for it's like white American history.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And everything it misses, obviously. Uh-huh. But it's very, very silly movie.
Yeah. A trage, but also LOL for Riley's line. Is that that hot girl? How does she look? Sometimes it becomes so sexist that it's like almost self-aware. And it really made me laugh. Is that that hot girl? Like, come on. Try even a little bit with the dialogue.
Does she look hot?
Is that that hot girl? A trage for Nicolas Cage sloshes champagne all over that water fountain. Once he gets her fingerprints on the champagne, he dumps it in the water fountain, but it sloshes right onto the floor. And that is so disrespectful to the people who are working at that event. And I actually have always thought that.
Wow.
Since I was a child, I noticed the champagne sloshing over the side and I said,
since the dawn of time.
That's upsetting. A trage for, and here we are, this is the trage component to the badge from earlier of the woman at the steak counter. Trage for the white man who wrote the woman at the steak counter in Philadelphia. Okay. Uh-huh. She's very funny. The actress is very funny, but it's a pretty stereotypical, like, sassy black woman character. Mm.
Yeah.
Who's just used for, like, comedic effect in that scene.
Uh-huh.
Trag.
Trag.
Bit tragic. And my final trag, a trag for one of the only black characters in the film gets arrested in an FBI raid. Phil, the hot henchman, is at the Boston church and gets arrested in the FBI raid.
Oh.
It's like, wow, what an American film.
Yeah.
A truly American piece. And that's all my trages.
Well, shall we move on to our next segment, which is, of course, how to pretend you've seen this film.
Yes.
This is for you are at the gift shop of a history museum, an American history museum.
Yes.
You're just perusing the little Benjamin Franklin snow globes and bobbleheads and Valley Forge pencils.
And
Ticonderoga
Ian comes up to you and says, wow. This really, I can't do whatever his accent was in that movie. It wasn't quite Northern.
This really reminds me of
one
of my favorite films, which taught me about America and American history, made me very interested. The best country in the world, I learned from this movie. I wanted to tell you, as a person in the gift shop, I don't think you probably know much about this country and specifically what I've been told about it. And I think I'll tell you about it right now.
And in order to revolutionize Ian into not speaking to you about this film, we're going to give you a few sentences you can say to pretend you've seen the movie National Treasure. Oh, Ian, I've seen National Treasure. And do you know what? You not speaking to me about film, that for me would be a treasure beyond all imagining.
Yes, Ian, I've seen the film National Treasure, and fun fact, Diane Kruger did most of her stunt work for the car chase scene.
Yeah.
Okay, stunt queen.
I don't know why I knew that already.
Interesting.
Must have watched the DVD extras. Yes, Ian, I've seen the film National Treasure. It's a fun for the whole family film that absolutely does not reckon with America's deeply checkered historical past.
Correct.
But correct. Don't go by me. I broke a shoelace this morning. It's a bad omen.
Whoa. Yes, Ian, I have seen the film National Treasure. Apparently, as stated in the DVD commentary, the initial rough cut for this movie was around 4 hours
That's
long.
That's perfect. Did I not say I would have watched 4 hours of this? That's the right length.
That means they must have had so many more clues that
so
they cut out.
So many more facts. So many more historical facts.
That's hilarious. And I love that.
I want to watch that. I want National Treasure Redux. Oh, yes, Ian, I've seen National Treasure. What's that? You're willing to not talk about film? Oh, could it really be that simple?
Could it really be that simple? Yes, Ian, I've seen the film National Treasure. This is a fun fact that doesn't really apply to this at all, really, but because it was like a movie, one of the classic Washington, D.C. movies. It's a fun fact I just learned working on this set I worked on. I worked with some people who worked on the movie Dave, which is about a guy becoming president or being like looking exactly like the president. So he plays the president's like whatever guy. It's actually a pretty fun movie. But apparently for that movie, the way that the art department created the White House was they like brought in cameras and the White House was like, you need to turn those off. So they all went, oh, okay. And they clicked off, but they were actually clicking on.
Oh.
And then they recorded.
Oh my God.
In the White House, which is just so like, wow, things were different then. They're like, all right, good. You turned them off. Good job. And they're like, cool. And they're still like looking around. Then they were able to create the White House, or like the Oval Office and everything. And now most films and TV shows that borrow, that want to create like a layout of that space, use the layout from the movie Dave. Fun fact.
Wait, how does that relate to National Treasure?
It doesn't.
Oh.
It's just about Washington, D.C.
Oh, great. Great, great, great.
But if I were talking to this
and
guy
in the
at a
sequel,
party,
they're in the Oval Office.
Fact.
They're in the Oval Office in the sequel.
See? There you go.
Great. Yes, Ian, I've seen the film National Treasure. God, I wish there was a way out of this conversation. Look. Stairs.
And now that you've gone through the treasure room,
yes,
and away from Ian, we can move on to our next segment, which is designed to save you time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, of course,
mm-hmm.
which of course is, should you watch this or
yeah.
we tell you if you should watch this movie or do anything else with your time? Liana, what
mm-hmm.
would you say?
Mm-hmm. 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 If you, regrettably, I don't think you have to watch National Treasure, even though it is fun for the whole family. If you want some historical fiction, ooh, I don't know if this is right to recommend because I have not read this since I was like 14, but you could check out the book, My Dear, I Wanted to Tell You, which is about a World War I soldier who undergoes plastic surgery after getting injured on the battlefield and was the inspiration for me doing a display board that took me to National History Day.
Love it.
Sienna, what would you say?
I would say you could either watch Dave, which also is in Washington, D.C. at times, and uh-huh. I just mentioned,
uh-huh.
and or you could do an escape room.
Yeah.
Same vibes.
If anybody is London-based and has escape room recommendations, do toss those in.
Liana, what would you rate? What would you rate? What would you rate this movie?
I would give National Treasure... I would give National Treasure 3.5 primary sources out of 5. It's so fun, and the music is so good, and it's such a silly and fun time. It is so sexist and white. It is a whitewashing of American history. Like, anything that makes you be like, yeah, maybe America is cool, is like, wait, hang on. Hang on. How about you, Sienna?
I'd give this movie... like a 2 torches out of 5, maybe 2.5.
Yeah.
2.5. Nothing.
That is so much higher than you gave Moulin Rouge.
Really? Yeah. Well, this one wasn't directly. This one wasn't directly offensive to me. Except for the sexist and whitewashing parts. But, you know, like it wasn't trying to be something more. Like 2-ish, I guess, around 2.
Yeah.
Torches out of 5.
Great.
Not much to say about it, but it was a fun time. It was fun to hang out with Nicolas Cage.
Could it really be that simple?
Secret lies with Charlotte. Could it be that simple? Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Toss Popcorn. Mm-hmm. That is us, Toss mm-hmm. Popcorn. You can find us at Toss Popcorn on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And we have a Patreon,
yeah.
patreon.com/tosspopcorn.
Yes. Enjoy
boy,
us
boy.
Next week when we will be watching Fiddler on the Roof.
If I were a rich man. Thank you.
We love you.
Thank Bye.
I wasn't done fiddling.
You can find us on Instagram as @SiennaJekyll and @LianaHolston. Please check the description for the spelling of our dumb names. We put out episodes every Tuesday, so make sure to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. See you next week on Tossed Popcorn. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check the iHeartRadio app.
This movie has every... I see myself in this film constantly.
Wow.
White people, white nerds eating microwaved enchiladas. That was me.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford.
a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.